across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Ah, Cilla Black. With her old face and her old nose and those lovely teeth. I was told a very charming story about Cilla Black, which I might get Aliff to tell you about a bit later on. But she met the woman who is an icon in this country, let's face it, and has a very charming vignette that I think tells you all you need to know about the late Cilla Black. Now, we've all thought about this, and don't pretend you're any better than anyone else, right? How sweet it would be to exact a stylish, clever, classy yet brutal revenge on someone who's trampled on your ego, or slightly worse, but only slightly worse, your heart, right? Wouldn't it be sweet to show them how wrong they were to mess with you? Didn't they know who they were dealing with? How could they? Their tiny minds couldn't understand it. And then you realise that you're talking like a villain from a Batman movie, and maybe you should calm down and get a bit of perspective, right? Revenge. I've got a few stories about revenge coming up in the show. People who've been suspicious of lovers and have put their parents in as honey traps. For God's sake, what part of that sounds good in your head? And also people who have exacted revenge on their ex-partner's possessions, because that'll teach them, won't it? When they're a permanent fixture in your home and you have to look at them the whole time, that'll show them. So revenge. We're asking tonight, is it a dish best served cold? Or are you essentially drinking poison and expecting the other person to die? Your thoughts on this, please, because we've all toyed with the idea. See, what I find is more useful to me to just sort of, you know, get a little bit of clearance of an issue. And it may take years and years, but what I like is kind of mild-mannered revenge that I know about, and they probably don't, but it makes me feel better because I'm petty, right? For example, I found my old diaries, and when I say old diaries, I mean I was about 11. And in one of the entries, boys never looked at me. They never looked at me because I looked like another little boy, to be honest. And I was geeky and I talked funny and I read books and I didn't have any boobs. So I was ignored for the most part throughout school, and I'm fine with that. I found this diary and it said one day that my life was about to change because a boy had asked me out, and he was clever and funny and fit, and my God, he obviously really fancies me, and he's really fancied me for ages, and yeah, and now we're going out and it's brilliant and I can't wait to go to school in the morning. Okay, then you turn the page and there's one sentence: it was all a joke. I remember that. Tell you how well I remember that. He was, and he doesn't know this, the victim of my mild-mannered revenge. Because years later, and I mean like 3 years ago, tried to add me on Facebook. So what I did was this. All right, yeah, I'll add you. And then I'll block you. Because that was just a joke. Yeah, how'd you like that? He won't know. He won't know. He won't know. But the petty devil on my shoulder knows, and it feels good, I'm going to tell you. And also, there's no lasting harm done. Just feels like, you know, we closed that chapter. I'm done now. We're all cool. I would love it if you tried to add me. No, we're all cool. We're done. 0344 499 1000. Revenge, okay? Maybe something you've done that no one knows. One of those kind of mild-mannered acts of revenge, which is really just for your own benefit. It's not going to harm anybody. They're not going to know that you're as petty as you are. But let's face it, we've all got that streak, haven't we? Or maybe revenge that was slightly further-fetched. I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you about this woman, right? Here it is. Hang on, let me find it properly. Here we go. A mother of three got revenge on her cheating ex-husband by turning his record collection into her new kitchen floor. Sonia Barton, 47, just in case you wanted ages, wanted to overhaul her old kitchen after living in her home in Belper, Derbyshire for 13 years. This is all very specific, now no timelines, always useful for stories. The children's entertainer, aha, that explains a lot of the craft work that's going on with her floor, of which I'll explain more in a second. The children's entertainer spent hundreds of hours over a whole year transforming her kitchen piece by piece as part of her forever home. I thought they only used that term forever home for, like, rehomed dogs and stuff. As part of the transformation, she opted to use some of the vinyl records left behind by her ex-husband, who she claims cheated, to redecorate her kitchen floor. The collection includes records from Dire Straits. Okay, probably best that these are out of circulation. Jets Yaz, is that right, or is that a typo? Jets Yaz, Hands Up, Shawaddy Waddy, How Dare You, and Paper Lace. She said, some of them are my ex-husbands. Aha. Now, okay, this is getting watered down now. They're not all her ex-husbands. It amuses me. It makes me laugh every time I walk in the kitchen and I see him. Take that! And that! Can you imagine? Each section is bordered by small tiles because I didn't want to do it all in one go so I can still use my kitchen. In response, her ex-husband, Jason Burt, told the Mail Online, I'm not saying anything. I haven't got a reaction to this. Probably for the best. Probably for the best, you know what I mean? I don't think he needs to say anything. Let's just have a little quiet thought about what Jason might be thinking. Yeah. Sonia estimates she spent £2,500 on the dream project and that the most expensive element was sourcing 5,000... Yes, you heard it right. 5,000 miniature flower buttons that make up part of the floor. The mother of three said, I love DIY and I love colour, so it just evolved. I originally wanted to do records on the floor when I was married, but my husband at the time didn't like the idea, so as soon as we split, I decided to do it. It's been a labour of love for me. I started it over a year ago and spent evenings and weekends working on it. Well, it's a constructive use of time. Sonia says she began the project in October 2018 after deciding to completely overhaul her kitchen and install a new floor, worktops, doors, drawers, kickboard and architrave, which is a word I didn't think I would be saying when I woke up this morning. Do you know what? I think that this is a story about a woman who thinks she's doing a DIY project and people are interested in her DIY project, but actually we just want to hear the gory details of what went on to cause the record thing. I made all the doors and drawers. I love vibrant colours, so I decided to paint the doors. She's painted them pink. I spent ages looking at tiles and I couldn't find any that I liked, so I brought some plain white tiles home and then I decoupaged them and I put resin on them. The worktops were an eBay bargain. She definitely thinks she's doing a how-to. The worktops were an eBay bargain, which I was able to install with help from a friend. For the floor, I bought the buttons, and then I added coins and records. I glued them on the floor, and I put a resin over them. The buttons were the hardest part. They took hours and hours and hours, and there are thousands of tiny flower buttons on the floor. All of them are different. Imagine if you buy this house, right, and you want to change the floor at some point. I know it's a forever home, but, I mean... Sonia decided to add in some vinyl records from her ex-husband's collection and to make each section of the floor in small stages so she could continue to use her kitchen. Practical, you see. She added that her friends and family have all been amazed by the kitchen. I can imagine. Let's just have a little moment where we imagine the reaction of her friends and family. Yeah, it's different. It's definitely different. You won't see another one like that. Sonia said most of my friends have seen it as it's been coming along. Some have seen photos. Oh, she takes photos and shows people. And have said it's a bit mad, but they've said it works when they've come and seen it. It's bonkers and it reflects me. It's a hard-wearing kitchen, so it should last forever. I feel happy just being in it. Stepping inside brings a smile to my face no matter how I'm feeling. It uplifts your soul. Bless her. She really thinks she's done a DIY feature there for the Daily Mail. Can you imagine? She told all her friends and then you get the headline, which is this. Woman gets revenge on her cheating ex-husband by turning his beloved record collection into her new kitchen floor. Sonia, is this what you meant to do? No, they said they just wanted to look at me buttons. Hello, Alan Caddick.
Hiya, Cass.
Hello, Alan Caddick. I dare say you're not a vengeful person, are you?
No, I'm not the vengeful type.
No?
But if I did have revenge on someone, it would be cold and heartless.
I bet, and I would not want to cross you, Alan Caddick, because I know you have a wild imagination. Hey, if you were going to stick a record to the floor, never to be heard again, what would it be?
The Floor Dance by Terry Wogan.
Oh, really?
Never liked it when I was a youngster, and still don't like it now.
All right, I'll put that on the list for sticking to Sonia's floor. I'm sure she'd be up for suggestions. What have you got for us today, Alan Caddick?
Well, I've got a bit of a mad idea. First of all, who's that answering the phone? Because it's not Sam, it's not Hayley, it's not Amy.
No.
Who is it?
Why do you want to know?
No, because I'd like to know who. Because I tried to say who's that, and she just put me straight through.
It might be that she wants to remain incognito. Do you want to remain incognito, or do you mind me telling him? It's Aelif. It's Aelif Mills.
Hayley.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Right. Well, is the governor back Monday?
I presume so, yes.
Unless he's took another couple of days off.
He might do. He's like that. He's a man of whims.
Yeah, he's not really. All that thing he's doing on Twitch and all that.
Yeah, no, he's more a man of having to earn money, so I dare say we'll be back on Monday. Are you missing him?
Only a tiny bit.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because I want him to give me an update on rabbit hole tickets on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Have you Googled it?
I thought Ian was going to put me on the guest list for the Birmingham rabbit hole.
Yeah, he will do. You have to turn up this time, though.
Yeah, because I've been campaigning for the rabbit hole to come to Birmingham.
I know, but you've been campaigning and then you said, oh, I might be busy. Let's have a look.
No, I'm definitely coming to this rabbit hole.
Are you?
Yeah.
And will you stay awake? Because didn't you go to a gig and fall asleep once?
That was for my birthday.
Well, exactly.
But that was because it was late at night. But I just in the afternoon have got my full undivided attention.
All right, let's have a look. Rabbit hole. Let's see if we've got the... I'm Googling it for you, which you could have done. Birmingham Glee Club. 26th of April 2020.
That's Sunday afternoon, isn't it?
I mean, now I've got to look in my calendar. Why don't you... Right, hang on. 26th of April. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you squeeze us in?
Yeah, I should come straight from the paper round.
Brilliant. Will you have a spare paper or no?
All the papers are accounted for. I have to ask my boss.
No, don't do that. I don't want to get you into trouble with the boss.
No, I can take out my wages.
Oh, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. We can always buy a newspaper. Which paper are you delivering again, Alan?
Well, as it's Sunday, you've got the Sun on Sunday, you've got the Sunday Mercury, you've got the Mail on Sunday, the Sunday Mirror, the People, the Star on Sunday, the Sunday Express.
That sounds heavy.
Well, you've got all the magazines in there as well.
So what do? You fold them all up together or do you do them individually?
I put them all in my bag in delivery order.
Oh, you've got
a big system. Because I work out my route. I mean, I sort out the papers three times on the road, mm-hmm. and I put them in delivery order, put the magazines in, put them in the bag, and then off I pop, walking away on Sunday to deliver the papers.
Okay.
But sometimes I use the bus, because if it's a firehouse, like at Butler Crescent or at the care home in Field Lane, I'll get the bus there, because that saves a bit of time. But with Sunday service, it's every half hour.
What are they reading in the care home these days?
Well, on a weekday, they have two Daily Mails and a Mirror, Monday to Friday. On a Saturday, they have two Daily Mails, a Mirror and a Sun.
Right.
And on Sundays, they have a Mail on Sunday and a Sunday Mirror.
All right, that sounds pretty... I mean, it sounds pretty, newspaper, yeah.
Well, the best paper I always deliver is, like, the Birmingham Mail on a weekday,
right.
Monday to Friday, because I have to deliver 10 of them.
Blimey. Is it thick, the Birmingham Mail? Because I know a lot of the local newspapers have gone quite thin.
No, it's not very thick, the Birmingham Mail. It's about average size.
Okay.
The worst paper to deliver on a Saturday...
Tell me.
...is the Daily Mail, because you've got the big, bulky magazine with the TV guide in there.
Oh, yeah, the Weekend magazine. They have that at my mum and dad's house.
And the Sun as well.
Yeah. I mean, very full coverage. Excellent work done by our colleagues there.
Yeah, I mean, I usually get my TV guide in the Sun every week.
Do you? Do you tick off what you're going to watch?
Well, I get my paper digitally on my phone.
Oh, right, okay.
It's still money to News International, isn't it?
Not really.
Well, I mean, on Google, it's $4.99 a month for the Sun.
Is it?
And you get a paper every day digitally.
Okay, all right. I see, you do it that way. I see. In that case, yes, that's fully kosher in that way. That will be very helpful to people.
It's not bad, $4.99 for a monthly subscription.
No, do you know, I don't know how much my subscription to Chat It's Fate is that I got for Christmas, but I think it works out quite well.
Is it on the App Store or Google Play Store?
No, that's an actual paper copy I get every month.
So, do you have it delivered?
Yeah. It's a lovely surprise. I always forget it's coming, and there it is.
No, but there is one paper I usually buy around Christmas, the Radio Times.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a Christmas Radio Times.
It was a fiver last Christmas.
It was what?
A fiver.
Cheeky swines.
I mean, I remember a time when Radio Times at Christmas was about 83p.
All right, now we're wandering down memory lane about the Radio Times. I think it's time to say goodbye, Alan Caddick.
I'll speak to you Monday.
I bet you will. 03444991000 if you want to give us a ring. I mean, we can talk about revenge, or we can talk about, well, apparently, the price of the Radio Times. Hello, Stephen. Stephen?
Well, apparently...
Oh, he's listening. He's going to talk to the radio. Stephen, you're on.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Cap.
That's all right. That's all right.
Free pizza's never tasted so good, Cap.
I was watching it. I was watching to make sure it got delivered last night. I was worried that you were going to be sitting there and it didn't come.
Oh, no, it came within about 35 minutes.
Oh, good. Oh,
16 inches of pure heaven.
Good, I'm glad. Did you have any left over, or did you wolf it?
I've still got two bits left.
Ah, you're a good one.
I've still got two bits left, but I love cold pizza.
Yes,
you know,
so
I'll eat that just before I go to bed, I think.
Good. Good, and they brought you a pudding as well, didn't they?
Oh, chalky pudding with custard. And Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good.
Magic.
I'm glad you got it.
Magic.
And did it tide you over for today? That's the main thing, that I was, you know, worried you hadn't eaten for a couple of days.
Oh, it got me. It made the walk down to Parkhead all the more bearable, you know.
Good.
Something in my stomach.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. How's your day been then? Tell me all about it.
The food bank, the people, they couldn't be nicer, but the actual bags that they give you are like paper bags.
Right.
And it's a couple of, they have got handles, but one of them burst on the way up the road.
Are you joking?
There was rice over the pavement, but I managed to salvage half of the bag of rice, you know.
Yeah.
Because food's valuable to me, you know.
Well, yeah, no, what a flipping waste if it went on the floor just because they give you crappy bags.
Aye. You're talking about love. You're talking about, I'm talking about unrequited love.
Oh, go on, tell me.
God.
In fact, hang on a minute, it's quite a big subject. Can we do a quick break and you hang on and then we'll come back to you? Is that all right?
That's fine. All
right,
fine.
Stay tuned because I think this is going to be a good one. 03444991000.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
03444991000. It's not just Late Night with me, Catherine Boyle. I've also got Stephen in Glasgow on the phone and he's about to tell us. You wanted to talk about unrequited love, is that right, Stephen?
Yeah, that's right.
Go on, tell me.
Well, I was a bit of a young buck at the time. This would have been about 20 years ago when I was working in the warehouse and mm-hmm. the fruit market. And I go for a certain type of girl. She's got to have brown hair. It's got to be long. She's got to have brown eyes. And for some reason, I always seem to go for a boss eye. I love a girl with a boss eye.
Do you know what? I completely understand it. I completely understand it. I'm quite partial to a big nose.
I've got a big... Oh, good. Anyway, we'd managed to steal a wee 5 minutes. Now, at this point, she's seven... I think she was about 7 years younger than me.
Right.
I'm not going to mention her name. But she was for Coatbridge, and we managed to steal a wee 5 minutes. She knew I was crazy about her, you know, but I think she was just after a good time.
Oh.
And she seemed to be a lot more experienced than I was. I'd only kissed one other girl before that, and that was when I was about 17 or something, and by this time I'm what, 24, 25?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I led a really sheltered life.
You were choosy, don't say that. You were just choosy. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. anyway, I must have been standing too far away from her, and she pulled me towards her, you know, with the sort of force that a man should pull a woman towards, you know, the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, as if I'll show you what to do, sort of thing, and that sort of, that sort of dented my confidence, you know.
She was, like, she was too forward for you?
Yeah, aye. And, but afterwards, some of the stories, he was a terrible kisser, he resisted. He was fumbling, he was, I was crestfallen, I was, I took 2 weeks off holiday just because of it.
Because you were so embarrassed, oh God,
yeah.
Poor lad.
I still think about him, I still have dreams about him, and, oh God.
Well, here's the thing, you can't treat people like that, that's not on. But she was 17, maybe she's grown up since then.
Aye, maybe, hopefully. I think I'll be single for the rest of my days now.
How old are you now, Stephen?
Best plan, I'm 44.
You still got ages.
Aye. I don't know if I told you, I drank... I can't really handle my alcohol, and I drank 2 cans of Budweiser. I shaved my beard off, and I shaved.
I wondered where you were going then, Stephen. I've never been more delighted to hear the word beard.
And I look across between Billy Corgan and Frank Blackface. The pictures.
Listen, that is a look, and some women will be into that.
Like, remember that guy from Midnight Oil?
No, I'm going to look him up. Who is it?
Beds are burning. How can we sleep while our beds are
burning? Oh, yeah? You look like him.
Well, maybe not as handsome as him. And he's not exactly handsome.
Listen, again, it's a look. And also, it's, you know what the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is?
What's that?
About 2 weeks. let it grow.
I've got a beanie the new I'm wearing.
Yeah, God, it's a bit cold. I was going to say, I tend to do stupid things like cut all my hair off. I had really short hair for a while, and I'd always do it in winter and then think, what am I thinking with my cold neck and cold ears? Anyway, no, I think, you know, 44, you've still got plenty of time, and you're sorting stuff out now, aren't you, Stephen?
I'm getting linked in with social services, and they're a good help.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to mention this or not.
Don't then, if you don't want to, but you can.
It's lyrics for a Weezer song. It's "Say It Ain't So." Is Ian going to be here after... Are you and Ian going to be here after March?
I should think so. I mean, everything's a little bit uncertain at the moment. We'll see.
Oh.
We'll see. But listen, don't worry about that. We're just thinking one day at a time at this point, aren't we, Stephen?
Aye.
All right?
That's one day at a time.
And while we're still here, you can ring us whenever you want. I mean, obviously between 10 and 1, but you can ring us any time you want. And
I'll listen. If you're 10 to 1, I'll listen. I listen to Mike Graham, and I listen to Daryl, and I listen to Martin. I don't listen to James. I used to like James, but James is...
All right. Well, let's not, because I don't like talking about people when they're not here. But anyway...
Oh, no, I know.
You can't like everyone, and people can't please everyone all the time, Stephen.
Right.
Anyway, it's nice to hear from you. I'm glad the pizza went down well. We've got to get you some decent bags, though, because that's no good, is it?
No.
Bless you. Right, will we talk on Monday?
We will. Aye.
You look after yourself this weekend, all right?
Right, you too.
Take care, Stephen. Bye. 0344 499 1000. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Catherine. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, no, it's been a while. Work, kind of, yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful thing to say after what you've been through?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, I'm getting back into... It was the one thing I sort of thought when I got to, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to stay up listening to the radio anymore.
Listening to two idiots talking absolute balls for the most part. I'll tell you what, you probably not missed very much, Pete, but it's nice to hear
from you. I've not missed anything, because it then kind of is sort of the on and off soundtrack to the rest of my day.
All right, so. Okay, good. All right. Yeah, you don't want to miss a minute of this thing.
Well, exactly.
Anyway, what have you got for us today, Pete?
I was just thinking about something, what you were saying last night. Yeah. The story about the parents who, I mean, basically wanted to spend an hour a week with their kids on their own, you know, the two twins.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, I was too tired to ring it last night, but it did make me think about me and my own sister. I mean, my sister's 18 months or so younger than me.
Right.
The way it is in my head, it might not have been in reality, is that basically from sort of 4 o'clock onwards when we got home from school, it would just be blazing rails through to 9:30, 10 o'clock when it was time to go to bed. It was for a good, you know, four or five, I mean, you know, we get on really well now that we've both grown up and sort of have our own lives and distance going on.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. It's like a constant battle for supremacy when you're a kid and your ages are that close. Me and my sister are about 2.5 years apart, and I think that was just 6 months, about 6 months too close.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, my sister's got two kids now, and I think they're about, the difference between them is about 3 years. Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's sort of the odd tension starting to brew, but yeah, I think that's going to be a lot better when they hit their teenage years.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Yes, I am evil! Don't you mess around with me!
You know who that is, don't you? That was Rick Mayall. I'm Catherine Boyle. I've got Mark Serby in the studio with me. Is it Serby or Serby?
Serby. But, you know, you pronounce it quite poshly, so I'll go with that.
I can't help myself. I just sound dead posh. Now, you've written a book about Rick Mayall. Mm-hmm. Usually you'd say, why Rick Mayall? But everyone loves Rick Mayall.
Yeah.
Why not Rick Mayall?
Yeah, this is the thing. And also... It's weird to say, but nobody else, there's no other book out there about Rick Mayall apart from his autobiography. Now, obviously, for people who have read that autobiography, it's an incredible piece of work, but it's written in the Dr. Rick Mayall pan-global phenomenon third-person perspective. I mean, it's a brilliant piece of work if you read it as a screenplay.
Right.
If you read it as an autobiography, it doesn't tell you anything. Like, everything in the entire world is down to Rick. Like, he you know, just created the world, to be honest. And it's great, but I'm like, I want to read about how he got to how he was and his influences and all of the success and all of the failures as well. Because, you know, there's things that didn't work for him as well. And I'm like, well, I want to read that book. Maybe I should just write that book.
So what, his book is more like him enjoying himself, talking about the man, the legend that he became?
It's not even that, to be honest with you. I mean, like there's breaks in the chapters where he's written a letter to, like, Thatcher or the Queen or just, you know, random people. And then there's breaks in the chapters of photos of young ladies who are topless. just for no reason, it just says bird topless or something. And you're like, I mean, this is exactly what you want from a Rick Mayall book.
Mm-hmm.
But for truth, for real truth, it's in there, dig it out. But if you just want a straight story, you're not going to get it in that. But it's a wonderful book. I mean, it's Rick through and through.
I'm going to have to read that. When after he died, a load of those letters that he wrote to people came out, didn't they? And some really lovely moments, I don't know, disguised with abuse. And I was talking to one of the producers and he said, oh, I love Rick Mayall. My girlfriend had a mad crush on him and she got a book signed by him and he always signed it Love and Violence.
That's just one of the things that he would write. You know, the thing is, he was very good with writing things like that. You know, if you were a male, you would get roundly, we can't say the words on air at all, what he would write on there. But, you know, you would get that and you'd go, yeah, that's absolutely Rick. And then if you were a female, you'd get something slightly naughty, something slightly perverted, maybe. And to be honest with you, I imagine most females would be like, yeah, I'm okay with that. It's Rick. Because the thing is, and I don't know if you'll agree with this on or not, but Rick was a very handsome man.
Yeah, very sexy. And it's not even about what he looked like. No. He had a charm.
Yeah, absolutely. I interviewed loads and loads of people for the book as well who worked with Rick. And one of them was Andy De La Torre, who went out on tour with him in the early 90s. And he said, when we were on tour, he said, obviously, I would do the first half of the stand-up comedy, and then Rick would come on and do the second half. He said, and afterwards, there would always be like a gaggle of women at the stage door waiting. He said, and you always knew. He said, I would go out first. He said, then Rick would come out. And he said, there was this 30-second moment where the women didn't recognise him because he'd been on stage pulling these faces, gurning and everything else like that, and flicking the V-sign and whatever else. And then he would come out as this wonderfully, you know, coiffured man, lovely, handsome and everything. And they'd go, well, that's not him. And then they'd look away and they'd go, hang on a second, that is him. Hang on a sec. So they'd all rush to the stage. But there was this 30-second gap where it was like, that's not Rick Mayall. But it was.
Because the person who came out, what was sort of smaller in an acting sort of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the real Rick Mayall then? A more shy person or...?
Only a few people really knew the real Rick Mayall. Family and those who got really close to him. I think that's the thing. There is, certainly with Rick, there was an on and off button. I think he was on as soon as he left the house, but that was no bad thing at all. You know, the stories that I've been told, which some of them are in the book, you know, happily to print them. Some of them were, I couldn't print at all, to be honest, were just really good, fun stories. Like he would be out with a few people and he'd be like, people would want his autograph and everything else like that. And he'd be with somebody trying to do some work. He'd go, oh, this is my lover. Or this is, you know, this is my son or something like that. Just to make it really fun. Yeah. That was the thing. So I think he was always on, but he knew when to be off. That was the thing. Like, you know, a lot of celebrities and a lot of famous people who are in the entertainment industry don't know how to switch off, which is an unfortunate thing. And Rick knew, I think he had that immediate switch, that when he was out in public, he was Rick Mayall. When he was at home, he was Richard Mayall.
Right.
And it's a big difference.
So when he was out in public, he was who the public expected to meet?
I guess
so. It was a bit of a defence thing because he was so outrageous, people would shrink back a little bit, maybe.
No, I think that was just Rick. I just think, the man oozed confidence. Yeah. That was the beauty about him. And I think that radiated to everybody else. Like, certainly, I think that people who grew up watching either The Young Ones or Bottom, I would imagine most of them turn around and say, my humour has been influenced by Rick more than anybody else, and probably my confidence as well. And I think that's such a great thing, is that you can look at somebody like Rick and never have met the man, yet understand how powerful it is to have that confidence and everything going through him. And, you know, he wasn't afraid to stand up to everybody. I mean, there's photos online of him standing up to policemen, you know, and you're like, only he could get away with that, really. And I think that's the beauty of Rick, and still is the beauty of Rick's legacy, that confidence still comes through. That any time you watch it, you know, obviously you were playing that song earlier, which was very early in his career. It was him with Jules Holland, actually. Yeah. Even then, him stood on stage, Jules Holland, and I think it was Bill Wyman was playing.
Bill Wyman
was playing the guitar.
Yeah.
I encourage everybody to watch the clip on YouTube, because Bill Wyman stood there like, what's going off? I really don't know. I have no idea. And yet Rick is like, you're on stage with me.
Yeah, and he loves it. And that last part of the song, he's stretching it out and enjoying himself. He's not hurrying up. He's not going to make way for the next person. This is his moment. You can see him basking in it.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Glorious.
Yeah, absolutely. He knew how to work a stage. He knew how to work a crowd. He knew how to work an individual as well.
And a camera. That thing that came out, and it was passed around a lot again at the time of his death, where I think he was at like a wedding or some sort of function. And a camera had found his face in a crowd and he realised he's being watched. He just flirts with the camera outrageously.
Yeah.
But it's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. He just knew how to make everybody laugh. He knew when the camera was on him. He knew where to stand, what to do as well. However, interestingly, when he was making Bottom, he was always very nervous about was he at his best?
Right.
Was he always at his best? I think because Bottom really was his and AIDS' big project, really. Because, you know, the young ones was obviously Lisa Mayer and Ben Elton as well, and the guys who were acting in it as well, Nigel Plano, Christopher Ryan, Alexis Sale. So it kind of had that group to hide behind a bit, but with
but
Bottom,
they loomed large, those two, didn't they, really?
Oh, absolutely. But I think Bottom, because it's their defining piece of work, and certainly I would say Rick's defining piece of work for my generation, I think he was very nervous about how it went down. You know, people said he would get really, really nervous before any take at all, and you think that doesn't sound like him. But at the same time, I can understand, because he was a master of comedy. He wanted everything to be right. You know, he absolutely adored Laurel and Hardy. He loved Tony Hancock. He hated what I guess you would call end of peer comedians, you know, the my mother-in-law joke people. He hated them because it was all so safe and just easy. And he was an alternative comedian. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And yet he broke through to the mainstream.
And what you're talking about there with the traditional way of doing comedy and those references to Laurel and Hardy and Tony Hancock, the side eye to camera, those kind of break, those moments where it's just you and him, that's part of the allure, isn't it, for the viewer?
Yes, absolutely, because it feels like...
He knows that I know.
Yeah, exactly, and it feels like he's only connecting with you as well. Like, because, I mean, we were talking just off air before we started about the Bottom live tours.
Yes.
And granted, you're sat in the audience with about 2,000 or 3,000 other people, and yet there are moments in those shows, even when you re-watch it on DVD, where you think, I think he's only talking to me now.
Yeah.
And how does somebody managed to get that good at doing something where it feels like you're only talking to one person?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Very intimate. Do you think it... Well, we were talking about the females lining up afterwards, but it is a mostly male thing with Rick Mayall, isn't it?
What, in like terms of fans?
And sort of reaching out and kind of identifying with that 14-year-old boy that you were.
Yes, I would say so. I mean, it's not a bad thing at all, but I think it is very much geared towards male slapstick, you know, frying pan in the face, that's funny, trapping the head in the fridge or something. You know, we don't advocate those at all, but they're very funny.
Yeah, and you know it's too big to be real as well, a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they always said it was like a real-life Tom and Jerry cartoon, and it is.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, they're an old married couple in Bottom, and it's Tom and Jerry. But I think it certainly chimes a lot more with male than females. I think also because there wasn't that many females who he worked with. You know, you think about the comic strip, and obviously worked with Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders, and there was a few others in there, but they weren't in all of those episodes at all. And you think back to the young ones, not that many females in their Bottom, not that many females either. Filthy Rich and Cat Flap, nothing like that either. I mean, really, when you think about it, probably the most work he ever did with a female all in one go was probably Drop Dead Fred. Yeah, with Phoebe Cates, which is a very different actress than what you would expect him to work with. But it worked. It didn't work at the time. I mean, it was...
No, I remember it coming out and people going, but it's a lot of people's favourite film.
Oh, here's the thing. I've been doing these Skype Q&As with the Alamo Drafthouse in the US over the past few weeks. They've been selling out. All of them have been selling out because people don't see these this film on the big screen enough. And people absolutely adore this film now. I think because certainly when probably you and I were growing up and we first saw it, we were like, look, we love the slapstick. We love the fact that he's rubbing poo in the mum's carpet and saying nasty words to the mum. You're like, this is really good fun. This is. And then when you watch it again as an adult, you appreciate it for so many other things. It's now studied as the number one film about mental health in California. Like, there's a whole research department that uses this film once a year to explain to people who can't understand what adults go through who have imaginary friends, and they show them Drop Dead Fred. And you see, this film lives on in such a big legacy. It really does.
He's so great, though. The face he had, the fact that he didn't have to do... It seemed like he wasn't doing very much, but in fact, he was working and manipulating the audience all the time.
Yeah.
I remember him primarily, and we talk about, you know, Bottom and stuff, and I do feel like that was more kind of aimed at young daft lads when I was a young daft girl.
Do you
know what I mean? And I was into it too, but I wasn't a massively girly girl, do you know what I mean? But Lod Flashheart, that was purely for the ladies, surely, wasn't it?
That was pure sex, that was. And the thing is, to be honest with you, I think that was probably about 90 to 95% Rick.
It's hilarious.
To be honest, you know. And the thing is as well is, think about how often he is in Blackadder.
Yeah.
At least 10 minutes per series. That's not a lot. Yet beyond, if somebody says to you Blackadder, you kind of instantly think about the relationship between Blackadder and Baldrick. Mm-hmm. But then the next thing, in the next instance, you think of Lord Flashheart, whether it is in the trenches or whether it is, you know, when he turns up and he's wearing a dress or something. And you're like, wow, this is, he just oozed sex.
Yeah.
And he knew it. And all of the lines, you were like, ooh. This is raunchy stuff for a British BBC comedy, which, you know, is very funny comedy, don't get me wrong, but it felt, when you watch it back, it feels like Flashheart is completely in the wrong show, to be honest, but it works, that's the thing.
But that's part of the thing. It's interesting you say that that was more him than you'd seen in other roles, because it did feel like he'd swoop in, take over, and everyone else kind of stood back because he didn't know what he was going to do. And that kind of unconventionality and the fact you didn't know what was going to happen next, that was part of his power, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is, when he first appeared in Blackadder Series 2, it was, where he comes through the door, he bursts through the door and everything else like that, nobody knew what he was going to do. Nobody knew at all. They basically, what had happened is they'd said something, and when they were practicing it before cameras were rolling, Rick was a little bit lethargic, and you know, oh yeah, I'm getting it done. And it was Rick Mayall, but it wasn't the Rick Mayall, the action, the sex, the adventure and everything. And then when cameras were rolling, he did everything that you see in the actual show. And what you get is a natural reaction from, if you look at Stephen Fry in that clip, Stephen Fry stood back with a huge smile on his face because he already knows what Rick's like anyway because he's worked with him. But there's others looking back, like Miranda Richardson, who's like, whoa, what are we experiencing here? You know, and I think maybe Rowan Atkinson was possibly a little bit annoyed about it all.
Because it was his vehicle, but Flashheart just takes over.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no other way of doing it. I mean, I can't imagine another comedic actor playing that now at all. Or even if, how would you play it?
No.
Beyond.
Because for anyone else to do that, it would be too much.
Yeah, that's very true. But for Rick, it just felt normal.
Yeah.
It felt,
here's Rick doing his thing. Everyone stand back and worship at the altar of madness. But there was a mad flash in his eye, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So people would kind of back up a little bit and let him do his thing.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly had those moments, flights of fancy, that sometimes didn't work. But it didn't matter because what came next did work.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Him and Aid, when they were writing, they very much liked the power of three jokes. So, you know, you would have one joke, then the next one would be bigger, and then the next one would be huge. So you'd have, ha-ha, ha-ha-ha, and then you would have the huge belly laugh. However, there's times in Bottom, and I've written it in the book, where they go for five in a row. And I'm talking about, like, the moments where they're talking about pin the tail on a donkey, and they go, well, we haven't got a tail. They go, well, sellotape on a donkey. And they go, well, we haven't got a donkey. You know, and it ends up being put a bit of sellotape on the fridge. But they go through this entire list and each one gets bigger and bigger. And having spoken to loads and loads of people who worked with Rick and who wrote with Rick as well, he would always say, come on, there's got to be something funnier than what we've already got. Now, that's a man who knows comedy.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hey, Cass.
Hey, what you got?
I'm a bit late, but I want to talk about family.
Good. Let's have it.
Because I was catching up on your show last week.
Yeah.
And on Friday, I was listening to Thursday's show, and it was all about family. And I wish I'd sort of called in. And then I was going to call in on Friday, but I bottled it.
That's all right. It's never too late.
So I just thought I was up listening to a show just now, and I thought I'd just call in.
Oh, good.
About family, because I was listening to lots of different sort of stories on Thursday, and I thought I'd add my two pence worth. It's quite an interesting story, if you like.
Cool.
A bit of a mix, a sort of two halves. On the one side, really, really close, lots of love, and quite a unique thing. And then another part of it, you know, a sort of a disowning aspect. So the language is quite harsh, but I'll just dive straight in. A little over 6 years ago, my parents killed themselves.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's the only way of starting a conversation. It was planned. My dad was really, really ill, cancer, 7 years. And so him and my mum basically chose when they were going to go. So self-euthanization, I suppose.
Okay.
I knew about it. Knew about it for a long, long time. And I was involved in sort of preparations, you know, for end of life and, you know, getting their affairs in order. I wasn't there, you know, the actual moment when it came, but I was there in the last sort of few days when my dad, you know, took a real bad turn. And so having sort of known for so many years that this was coming, my dad was, had cancer for about 7 years before he died. I was really, really well sort of prepared for it. And also, you know, towards the end, this health sort of deteriorated. So you knew it was coming. And I heard a lot of stories of, you know, not just on the show, but sort of, you know, in my life from people that I know who have parents generally, you know, who sort of have this kind of slow decline and almost heartbreaking stories, really. You know, listening to Fake Sheila as well on Friday, you know, talking about her situation. And even though it's quite shocking, my story, and when I tell people that, I get a reaction you sort of gave me, I actually felt really lucky in a way and sort of quite blessed. I never really had to go through years and years of, you know, watching someone that I loved in a state of sort of, let's just say in a state where their sort of quality of life was that sort of diminished. And so that's kind of the one side of it. And I love my parents. They were great parents, you know, and we talked sort of every day for the last few years, very, very close, you know. It was a big, big miss when they went. But I never actually needed to grieve for them after they went, because I'd done all of that in preparation, in advance, in a sort of way, because I knew what was coming. So when the moment of departure actually came, I was very, you know, calm about it, very, like I say, blessed in a weird sort of way, and sort of gave them my blessing kind of on their way. So that's kind of the one, that's one part of the story, if you like.
That's incredible. Can I ask you a few questions about that?
Yeah, sure.
I find it really interesting. Of course, everyone's reaction when you say you lost both your parents is, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Mm. And cancer's an awful, awful disease. And
yeah.
God, you know, it does terrible things to people. But from what you're saying, the fact that they'd chosen the time and sort of method of their passing, and that they were doing it on their terms while they were still able to make decisions, that was a huge comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the cancer that my dad had, it was a rare form of lymphoma.
Right.
So he had his faculties really kind of right up until the last week. You know, he had a sort of debilitation, if you like, you know, physically, he would get sort of tired and like that, but it wasn't, I mean, there were many different types of cancers. This wasn't one that, you know, made him sort of bedridden for years and years. So their decision was, as long as there was a quality of life, then they would continue. And as soon as that stopped, then they would go.
And they didn't want to carry on without each other, by the sounds of things.
Well, well, this is the thing. One of the things that people sort of ask me is, well, you know, you talk about your dad, and your dad is, what about your mum? Why, you know, why did she, how do you feel about her doing that? Why didn't she stick around? I've got kids, and they were quite young at the time. You know, was it selfish of her to go? Why didn't she want to stay around and see her grandkids sort of growing up? She was sort of so devoted and so in love with him that she literally couldn't see her life without him. I mean, you hear that phrase, don't you? You hear that phrase being sort of bandied around, oh, I could never live without him. I don't know what I would do, you know, without my significant other. Well, she literally couldn't, to the point where she was prepared to go with him. And while she wasn't in brilliant health herself, you know, she wasn't, you know, she could have continued. But she didn't want to, yeah. So they chose a time and they wanted to be at home, yeah. And they were at home. And he, in the sort of last week, when it got, you know, he kind of like fell off the cliff, if you like, in terms of the physical side of it, he was taken to hospital. And then when, and I went to visit, and then when we knew that, you know, that was it, then we discharged him and took him home. And I spent the last sort of few days at home with them. And then I, you know, because of the legal situation in this country, I left the day before, knowing what was coming, but just, you know, so that I wasn't there and there couldn't be any sort of implication or confusion about involvement, you know, I sort of left. But
is that the way you would want it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, right, is I got to say everything I wanted to say to them before they went. I was not in a position where I, you know, having my parents die and having to, you know, go through the rest of my life thinking, well, what if I'd only just said this, or if I'd only just said that, or, you know, I never got a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had that opportunity to say all of those things, everything you could possibly have wanted to say. I mean, closure is a sort of an easy word to kind of bundle it all up in, but it really is that. And I have not cried since they died, and that was over 6 years ago. Not because I don't miss them, but just because, you know, I said goodbye, and I did all my grieving, you know, in a time when they were sort of alive, in a weird way, over a long period of time. So when it actually came down to it, although it was a shock because it happened suddenly, relatively, you know, within about 4 or 5 days, his sort of physical condition, you know, kind of dropped off. And although it was sudden, it wasn't, you know, I was prepared for it, so it wasn't a surprise. Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm happy to answer questions about that, but here's the thing. The other side of the family, I spent my time, those last sort of few days with them, and my sister. And so that's another story. People may sort of find that quite a, sort of quite a tight, loving story, I don't know, between me and them.
Well, I mean, you say that you haven't cried since they died, but you've just had me in tears, because I think anyone who's lost anyone, and I've lost too many people recently, and yeah, not had a chance to say all those things, that's such a special time.
Yeah, and when I say I've sort of got to say everything I wanted to say, I don't mean in those last few days. I mean in the you know, 7 years.
Yeah.
Previous to that, when he was diagnosed. So, yeah, I mean, it's very, incredibly lucky, very, very blessed. We would all, given the opportunity, choose our own time.
Yeah.
If we could do it peacefully.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Baby Blue. You will have heard it because it was in Freaks and Geeks in an episode, I think. No, it wasn't. I'm thinking of another song. It keeps popping up recently, and I just cannot. David, are you there?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm ready for the interview at half past.
At 10:30, oh, yes.
So weird.
At 10:30.
Yeah, I'm just listening in. Don't mind me.
But here's the thing. The thing is, you're on Skype.
Yeah.
And we can't close the Skype fader. It has to be open.
Right.
So I just wondered why you were on 25 minutes early.
The early bird catches the worm.
The what?
The early bird.
Early bird. You know what? The early bird catches the worm, don't it?
Okay, well, we're going to do the show.
Ian.
Yeah.
I told you this was going to be weird.
No, it's going to be good because the book is good. He's written a book.
Oh, no, I've written about half the story.
No, you haven't. He has written a book, and I haven't read it, but I'm thrilled that this is...
You should have read it before you got one.
No, we're going to read it live on air. I read one story. Well, I read one bit in the book. David Babcock's written a ghost book, which you can buy on Amazon. It's true. And I opened it. It came today, and I opened it, and it said, "This story is so scary that my lawyers have asked me not to put it in the book." That was one of the stories.
The end.
So I'm looking forward to this a lot. I'm a big fan, as you know, of the supernatural. I'm a big fan I'm a big believer. I'm opening my third eye as we speak.
I don't know, we should pack that in.
But, so David's going to be exciting. But David, can you, so your line is going to be open, but can I ask you just to keep quiet?
Yeah, I'll hold my breath.
Don't make any weird noises like you normally do.
No.
No, I'm holding my breath now.
Well, don't. Well, you
don't die. You've got 20 minutes.
No, let's see if he can hold. Let's see if he can hold his breath for 22 minutes. No, we can't. Right, 0344 4. Jeez, mate!
I knew he wouldn't be able to stop making the weird noises.
Seriously, I'm so excited about the book. I've even got a copy to give away. I bought 3 copies.
You bought those?
Yep. David Babcock, Page Turners and Spine Chillers. It's a great read.
Spine chillers? Is that a thing?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a spine tingler.
No, you chill your spine.
No, you don't chill a spine.
Of course you do.
No.
But just a little bit of respect. How many books have you written, Catherine?
To date?
Yeah.
Zero.
Please, David, mate.
Am I not on yet?
No, you're not until half past. We're not doing you yet.
Holding my breath.
No, don't do that because you just did that and then you squeaked one out. How many books have you written, Catherine?
That makes no difference at all.
He's written a book.
Has he, though?
Yeah, he has.
Has he, though?
He has. Yeah. Please, mate. We'll do it later. That's at half past. In the meantime, 0344. Going to have to ask you to be silent. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. I'm back after a few days off. Should I check in? I'll check in. I feel lousy, man. I feel lousy. But I was just sat at home feeling lousy. And I thought, I'll come in and maybe hanging out with Catherine and Sam, doing the old show, the old 1-2, will make me feel... better, but I feel quite. I tell you how I feel. This is how I feel. I feel really nervous. I feel very, very nervous. I've had words with James. I've apologised to James, and we've made peace, which is lovely. But I feel very nervous being here after a few days off, and also after just not feeling well mentally. I feel wobbly is the best way of putting it. So I feel very nervous. Being here, I'm worried I'm going to say something wrong. I'm worried I'm going to burst into tears. And I just don't quite know how the show's going to go. But we'll see. If you're getting back for us, please, Sam, we will see.
Don't worry about bursting into tears, because I did that yesterday.
Did you? Why?
It's fine. Someone told me a sad story.
Oh.
You know what I'm like.
Well, then you should go out when I do David's book.
Sad story, not a...
Spine chillers.
Story written by Sado.
Okay, well, okay, please don't. Please don't. And you stay out of it, David. I've got this covered. 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. What are the conspiracy theories around the coronavirus? The only reason I ask, I'm not being flippant, the only reason I ask is because I saw one on a local Facebook page today. It wasn't... a Fruit Loops and Nutcase. It was a Facebook page that the previous posts, one had been complaining about someone who'd parked in a disabled bay without a disabled sticker, and everyone was saying, vandalise the car. Oh, everyone! And the post before that was about HS2. So it's a proper local...
It's concerned citizens is what it is.
Concerned citizens, right? And then I went there to... I love it. And I went there today and someone had posted, Someone had copied and pasted another post from a thing, and they'd just written question. And here we go. So this is what they posted. Very interesting. Wuhan is where 5G was rolled out. What if 5G wrecked immune systems and thereby boosted the virulency of the normal cold? One of the main points about 5G was that it would wreck immune systems and make people sick. Silicon Valley does not want it. I hesitate there because Valley is spelt wrong. And the kicker, people in Wuhan say 5G sucks and that 4G was better. It was all for nothing. Figure that. I remember now that Wuhan was where the tech was going to be put in place first, but forgot all about that with this pandemic. What if all we are seeing in Wuhan is sickness from exposure to excessive 5G radiation and weakened immune systems? Things that make... They end the post with, things that make you go,
No, they didn't.
They did. And this woman's posted it, and fair play, most of the people have gone, you're a nut job, or posted GIFs of people wearing tinfoil hats. She's doubled down, but I am a free thinker, and I question everything.
Yeah.
And some people have supported her. So it's not one... nutcase, it's you know, she's doubled down and people are supporting her. I haven't heard any, and then I tweeted that and someone wrote, well, it's probably the controlled virus center they have in Wuhan there's been a leak. Now, is there a controlled virus center in Wuhan?
I have a serious conspiracy theory.
Okay.
The Americans are not going to be happy we are aligning ourselves with the Chinese for this deal, right?
Oh, by the way, I have a Huawei phone, so...
Yeah. So what if it's the old...
The old one too.
The fake news content providers at work.
What? And you're
trying
saying
to undermine
that,
belief.
You're saying the coronavirus is fake?
No.
You're saying the Americans made it?
No.
You're saying the Jews made it?
No.
Wow.
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that these conspiracy theories come from somewhere.
Yep.
It might be useful to the Americans at this point for us to be a bit frightened about what's going to happen.
I reckon someone done it with a monkey.
Inevitably.
We'll take your conspiracy theories on that. Respectfully so, because I think over 100 people have died now, and it's respectfully so. But also, I'm old enough to... Let's go through them. SARS. Bird flu. Now, was bird flu HN51 as well? Wasn't there an HRN HN51? Was that bird flu?
I don't know. I remember that fella that wasn't letting his kid go to school because they were going to get Ebola.
Oh, Ebola. Yes, there was Ebola. There was another...
And again, not laughing at Ebola. There was a man in the middle of the shires in this country who was not taking his child to school because he said, she's going to get Ebola.
Yeah. So, there was another fluey one as well. I'm thinking of another fluey one. Damien, do you remember the other fluey one?
Oh, don't know. Bird flu was H5N1, I think.
H5N1, that was it. Thank you. That was bird flu, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bird flu was from China, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was SARS from China?
Probably.
Oh, now.
Everything's made in China these days.
It is. I think SARS was... Bird flu may have been Hong Kong, which is China now. I think SARS was
yes. Outbreak of SARS in southern China caused an eventual 8,098 cases, resulting in 774 deaths
Blimey.
In 17 countries. The majority
Blimey.
Of the cases in China, mainland and Hong Kong.
Golly gosh. Well, anyway, Damien, what can we do for you tonight?
I just wanted to send you some good vibes, really, Ian.
Oh.
I'm so glad to hear you back.
Bring it on. Bring on the good vibes. By the way, yeah. David Babcock is on the line with us, but he won't be saying anything.
Will you, yeah, David?
Keep quiet. Oh,
no.
Shh.
Go on, David. Send those good... Please be quiet. Go on, David. Not you, Damien. Please be quiet, David. Please be quiet. Damien, sorry. Shut up! Barbara's... Damien.
Sorry.
It's so good to hear you back. And I know you get a lot of callers and you take a lot of flack. I've been looking back at YouTube videos of all the people that ring in and bend your ear and cause you stress. And as a fellow anxiety survivor and... suffer of depression, I understand how that can affect you. So I just wanted to to call in and wish you well and send some good vibes your way.
Thank you, Damien. Those good vibes are accepted. They are taken, and I'm embracing them. Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Alan.
Hiya, boss.
Hello.
How can I describe Nicholas Parsons like whippetism, deviation or hesitation?
Say that again.
How can I describe Nicholas Parsons like whippetism, deviation or hesitation?
Well, repetition.
You just repeated yourself.
Well, that's not an instant buy for a sale of a century.
Hang on, I'll get my bell out and we'll do this properly.
Okay.
Got Savlon in my bag, if anyone's interested.
I'd like some.
Do you want some Savlon?
Yeah.
Got some Savlon. What for? Not for your lips?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
No, it's not a lip balm.
No, I know, but I'm getting cracked.
No. Right.
It might get infected.
Right. Alan, you've got 60 seconds to talk on a subject without hesitation, repetition or deviation, okay?
Okay.
And that subject is, let's go for it, is Nicholas Parsons.
Nicholas Parsons, one of the greatest men ever known. First started out on Just a Minute on Radio 4 back in the 1950s, then he went on in the 1970s to present Sale of a Century on ITV, which ran till 1983, was one of the greatest game shows of the 70s and 80s.
I'm going to stop you there, set repetition of 70s.
Correct, challenging. You've got 40 seconds remaining. Time starts now.
I met Nicholas Parsons once. It was at the British Broadcasting Corporation, and we were doing an interview on a newsy-type programme. He was the guest before me.
Bing! Hesitation, several times.
It's not hesitation.
The guest before me.
It wasn't a hesitation.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Captain Wimbo, incorrect challenge. In, you keep the point. You can't
do it
now. I got
him in charge.
Right, are we ready?
Ugh. Give me that bell.
Okay, you can have the bell, but you've got to do it properly. I said hello to him and told him that I was a big fan of his. He was very pleased.
Sarcastic voice.
It's not one of the rules.
Okay, carry on.
David, you can buzz in on this, by the way. I met him and he was very gracious when I told him how much I admired his work. I was particularly a big...
A lot of eyes.
You're allowed to repeat eye.
Are you?
Yes, you are.
God.
You ever listen to it?
No, I find it really dull.
How much time have I got, Alan?
You've got about 10 seconds.
Okay.
Buzz.
Sorry?
You've got 10 seconds. Time starts now.
Hang on, what was
no,
the
buzz? Done...
What was the buzz for?
You repeated particularly.
Well, we've started again. You've missed it. You missed that one.
Sorry. Incorrect challenge, David. You've still got 10 seconds. Time starts now.
Nicholas Parsons was in a show.
Who's Nicholas?
Catherine Boyle challenge.
What?
No.
Now it's me. How many seconds have I got left?
No, but it's not you.
Yes, it is. You said Nicholas.
It's the same way. Reason for the challenge, Kath.
Still in the same way that I say milk. There's milk and Nicholas.
No, come on, no. Nicholas is not a thing.
I'll let you have it.
How many seconds have I got left?
Cameron Moore, you got 8 seconds remaining. Time starts now.
Nicholas Parsons, a towering legend of the radio industry and somebody so many people look up to.
Kath gets the point.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Okay, David, this is your turn. You've got 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or the other one.
Deviation.
Thank you, deviation. Well, I don't know about that. And your time starts now.
What am I talking about?
Oh.
Unbelievable. Stop the clock. Right. Yours is the National Television Awards. Your 60 seconds starts now.
I've seen a lot of coverage about the National Television Awards on Twitter, and most of all, I think that the surprise of the night has got to be that Mrs. Brown's Boys beat Air Fleabag, and
hesitation.
I would say...
Hesitation!
Air Fleabag?
No, I said A Fleabag.
Well, what's A Fleabag?
I think it's from the same factory as Necklace.
Ian, you've got 50 seconds, time starts now.
The National Television Awards were hosted by David Walliams. I'll be talking about that particular gentleman a little bit later on, as I need his help to try and get me to star in an Adam Sandler movie. Of course, last year...
deviation!
Cameron Bowe challenge!
I've gone... No, it's not deviation.
You're talking about Adam Sandler movies and your ambitions.
Yeah, because David Walliams is in one of the five Adam Sandler, one of the five
now
Adam
you're
Sandler
carrying on
movies.
Talking about Adam Sandler.
Because we're not in the game now.
Catherine Moore, incorrect challenge, Ian, you've still got it. You've got 40 seconds remaining, time starts now.
There was a lot of controversy on social media that this particular gentleman who I mentioned, who was...
Alan Caddick challenge. We're particular of the word gentleman.
All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Wrong.
Wrong?
No, I'm waiting for you to say time starts now before I start.
Okay, you've got 45 seconds. Your time starts now. What? Hesitation.
I started.
Yeah, you went.
Ian Lee, correct, you've got 40 seconds remaining. Time starts now.
The awards are very famous, and I was there last year or maybe before that as part of my excellent I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which won a prize for being the best reality show. I think I got to go.
Ding.
Yes?
David Babcock challenge.
Hesitation.
Incorrect challenge. Ian Lee still gets it.
It's really hard to think, though, Alan, with your tongue so far at my backside.
I'm just trying to be impartial of the late Nicholas Parsons.
This is Alan's audition tape.
I'm going to be on Radio 4 before you know it.
Radio 4, get ready. Okay, you carry on, David. Your time starts now. Hesitation. Okay, we get the idea. Do we do the quarter past break? We did it. Jeez. Yeah. All right, Alan, thanks for that.
Thank you.
There we go. 03444991000 is the telephone number. It's a fun game to play. The kids like playing that game. I've got to tell you about the best game I bought for the kids. I bought you the card game, Sussed. It popped up on Amazon as you bought this, you might like this. And I looked in it, it's just a card game. And I thought, my boy's birthday. I thought, and I read the reviews. I went, you know what? It's a tenner. I'm taking a punt. One of the best tenors I've spent in absolutely ages. It's a card game, it's got four questions on it. And you read it, you go, which one of these is most like me? And then you read it and the others have to go, okay, right. And you go, right, what did you put? And they go, C, B, B. I go, actually, it's A. And me and the boys were in hysterics.
And then what happens? Do you keep the card if you got the question?
No,
right?
No, it's not about possession of cards.
Who wins then? How do you win?
Whoever gets the most points. So there's four questions on each card and you go around in turns.
Okay.
You can, if you're really confident for each person, you can like play a little joker and double up. It was brilliant though. So, honestly, get it. Sussed. A tenner. And it looks a bit rubbish, but we were in hysterics playing this. Very, very funny. And you think you might know some people, and then it turns out that maybe you don't know.
But I mean, what you're finding out is things like, what do you prefer, dogs or cats, right?
What was one of the questions? Next time I see the boys, I'll borrow it and bring it in. What was one of the questions that we had? Oh, if I were a car, would I be a fast sporty car? Would I be a convertible, or would I be a middle of the road safe car?
Okay.
Which do you think I would be? It's actually one of my questions.
Well, convertible.
Middle of the road safe car.
Really?
Yeah. I put that. No one put that. I'm a boring guy. I'm a boring guy. Okay, all right. What we're going to do, dear listener, is we're going to take a break. Then when we come back, we have got a very, very special guest, a surprise guest.
It's not surprising.
It is for people who've just tuned in.
I mean, only those. Now, from these people, it's a surprise.
Exactly.
Everyone else, this guy again.
You know the audience rolls. Every 25 minutes we get a new audience, it rolls.
Is it like that at night?
Yes. Our audience are rolling spliffs, but... So we've got a very special guest coming on to talk about a very special book that he's written.
It's two very special.
That you can buy.
Right.
Sorry?
Shh. Before we continue.
Yes.
Kathleen. Has somebody rubbed salt in your chuff or something? Like, 'cause you're
saying... See, this is the problem.
Okay. Everybody calm down. You watch your language. Catherine, you did have that coming. When we come back, we're going to start afresh. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Well, on this show, we like to encourage creativity And so many of you have gone out and made podcasts and started doing stand-up as a result of us. So many of you owe your lives and your careers to us.
As we know, there was a podcast shortage.
Here's the thing. We've got a book inspired partly by this show. And I'm thrilled to say we have the author of the book on. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome David Babcock. Good evening, David.
Great to be here. Great to be here, guys. How are you doing?
Very, very well, David. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. I'm all right. Do I sound like I'm in Australia?
No.
Right.
David Babcock, Page Turners and Spine Chillers. It's a spooky title. We know you're a paranormalist. Tell us about this book. Where did you get the idea from?
This book, as a paranormal investigator, I've been to some horrible places. You could say I've been from hell and back to and back. But what I will say is...
You haven't, though, have you?
Kath?
You haven't been to hell.
Shut up. What I will say is, on my trip towards hell and back, I've seen Ian. I can't do this if she keeps going to keep butting in.
Catherine, please.
Sorry.
He's nervous. It's his first book, and he's nervous. Just give the kid a break.
Can you pass me a copy? Where is it?
It's there.
A
copy of the book.
I'm just going to have a quick read of it while you're talking.
Give the kid a break.
Right.
One of these. By the way, we're giving
it writing,
one,
isn't it?
We're giving one of these away tonight. Go on, David. Sorry, mate. Tell me about the ideas.
On my journey to and from hell and back, I've seen some things. I've heard some things. And I've written them things down in a series of short stories that will quite literally eject the urine from your bladder.
Are these true stories, then?
I will not say which ones aren't and which ones are, but some of them are, some of them aren't.
Death FM, let's talk about that one.
No, we can't. That one's a long one. You don't want to go into that one.
Well, this also mentions my chuff again.
All right,
what is your obsession?
Let's keep it above the waist tonight, guys.
Can you please read the first pages of the book, which is a legal message that I'll read it out. I've got it here. Just to put you on the right track, Kathleen.
Legal very, very early on in this interview. Go on.
The stories, all names, characters and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons living or deceased, places, buildings and products is intended or should be inferred.
Although this story does start, Ian had been presenting radio shows for ages. He and his co-host Kathleen were a partnership not to be messed with. Weeknights from 10 until 1 was their slot.
It's more than a passing resemblance, isn't it?
It does feel like us.
Yeah.
You say it was inspired. The story I actually heard wasn't under those circumstances, but I thought I'd link it to your show so that you'd have me on.
Can I read one of the stories, David? Would you mind?
Which one is it?
Push It.
Right, I'm going to read it along with you just in case you skew it to try and make me seem like a pervert or something.
I've not read... Well, would you like to pick a story? Because I've not read these. I thought we could read these tonight. We've got Meat Feast... that one looks offensive. Naughty 40.
What?
Oh, there's another one of that. Sexy 60.
Yeah, it's not. It's not what you think.
You Fool. There's one called You Fool.
Have you read the book?
And it goes...
No.
I'm reading it now. You Fool. You Fool. That's it. That's the end.
Yeah, but it's linked. I don't want to give it away. It's linked.
Okay.
It's all linked.
All right.
Read... In space, nobody hears ghosts.
Now, what page is it on? Because you've put the index at the back of the book, and you haven't included page numbers. Mm. So, whereabouts roughly? Oh, there's no page numbers on it. So, I'll find it. It's called In Space.
It's unexplained.
It's called. What's it called? In Space. What?
Nobody hears ghosts. It's probably the width of an ant from the front page.
Okay, that's not actually listed in the index.
Here it is.
It's not listed in the index.
Is it not?
All right, Kath, do you want to read it?
It's after bedtime.
There we go. Kath's going to read it.
Okay. In space, nobody hears ghosts. Mission log 369, USS Starseeker, year 2189. As our voyage into the unknown continues, we edge closer to shining a light on the darkest realms of the universe. Aside from the experiments going well, a troubling mood has swept the crew. Station control had planned for some levels of nausea and general moping around, but this has been the strangest mood yet. Jenkins has been claiming to have seen people in the crew quarters, people who aren't on the crew list, people from his past. Doc has had a check on him and his vitals are fine. We shall keep him under assessment. Mission Log 370, USS Starseeker, year 2189. Troubling news regarding Jenkins. He displayed some highly challenging behaviour over lunch, which had led to him being held in the prison wing. He was sitting up at the communal table when he suddenly leapt up on his chair and pulled down his trousers and pants. He spread his bum cheeks and went on to talk in a high-pitched voice, saying he was... Corporal Bum Bum.
Take it seriously, Kath.
And we are all under arse rest.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go! London. 03444991000. What the hell is happening in the world? I have absolutely no idea. Maybe our friend Bill can answer that. Good evening, Bill.
Oh, good evening, Ian.
You're opening up the show, Bill. Make it a good one.
I try to. Well, we actually started where we left off.
Your Indian wife.
That's right.
Whereabouts in India is she from?
Well, she lives over here now, but she was from Tanzania. Well, Indian origin, but born in Tanzania.
Tanzania is not in India, is it?
Which is about 25.
Is Tanzania in India?
No, it's confusing everyone. Her parents are from India. She was from Tanzania. She comes to GB.
So she's not Indian. She's Tanzanian.
Tanzania. Well, she's...
I'm going to come out and say it, Bill.
Well, mate.
Because no one knows if we're going to be around tomorrow.
I
smell a whiff of bullshit with your story. I smell a big whiff of bullshine in your call last night. I'm going to put my cards, let me get my cards out. I'm laying them on the table and they spell, I did not believe a word of your call last night. Didn't believe a word of it.
No, of course not.
No! Was it true?
No, it's true. Indian origin, parents from India. She was born and brought up in Tanzania, came to the UK.
Whereabouts in India are they from?
No, I don't know.
No.
I know she's from Tanzania.
Whereabouts in Tanzania is she from?
Mwanza. It's one of the big sort of towns.
Okay. I don't believe what you're saying to me. You got the lion eyes.
Yeah, so that's...
Okay, and so you were tricked into going into an expensive meal with a millionaire who then left you to pay for it.
Bang on.
Yeah? I'm just scratching my chin. My chin's rather itchy. Hang on.
It wasn't even that. It was he'd been invited out for a free lunch and his wife was furious that he'd been even thinking about the idea of going for a free lunch.
No,
he hasn't been.
No, he's been. This is how I remember.
No, he's still not been.
Well, no, you told... Hang on a minute.
No,
I thought
didn't.
You said you'd gone for lunch with a friend of yours who'd become a millionaire and he'd left you with the bill.
No, not quite.
No, his name is Bill.
I don't even believe that. I bet his name's something like William or something completely different.
Big corporate millionaire in Knightsbridge.
Yeah.
Just slips. You want to go for a compo freebie at the Dorchester? Of course it is.
Well, go. In that case, I've misunderstood. In that case, go.
The wife goes mental because she thinks, well, if it goes tits up, we've got a big bill. So that's a big one.
Your wife sounds like a loser.
Of course I'm going to go. Of course she's not going to go. And there's a conflict. Irresistible conflict arose. Bang.
Bang, bing, bing, bang, a bit, walla bala, bing, bang.
But you said that conflict had caused you to have a mental break, either in a gym or a park.
I know. I can laugh about it.
No clues. Where did you have your mental breakdown?
Fully recovered.
Where did you have your mental breakdown?
Yeah, it's true, all true.
Yep. Where do you drive, Jeff? Where did you have your mental breakdown?
Well, two parts of that. I was destitute in Hyde Park, or this time last week, Wednesday night, but I had a big breakdown the following day in my local gym.
You said it was two weeks ago.
Local gym near me. Massive mental meltdown. Unbelievable.
You said it was 2 weeks ago.
No, last week.
Okay, listen.
Last Wednesday, of Hyde Park, destitute. No money, no access to shelter or food.
What do you mean destitute? But you could go home.
Mental meltdown today. I was right brain.
But you say destitute.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
You weren't, because you could...
The wife. She wanted me to go out, so she threw my credit card.
Yeah, but you weren't destitute, but, Billiam, you weren't destitute. You could have gone home.
No, mate. Couldn't have done, because I left the house with, I think, 30, 40 quid, just enough to get up to London by cash. But once I'm up there, hoping that I've got this free meal and I've got the time of my life, which didn't happen.
So you were going, So you went for the free meal?
There was that day, yes. That day, the offer, I went up there. That's the daughter. I was going to go, she wasn't going to go, she's trying to stop me.
So you went for the free meal?
Yes, mate.
I was right. I knew he'd gone for the free meal, even though just a few minutes ago he agreed with you and said he hadn't.
My mate was fictional.
You remembered he was fictional and didn't exist?
No. The daughter had no record of it, but my I've found out since did send it. It got mixed up. So when I go to it's called the cash restaurant in Dorchester, they got no record of it. But he said it and it got somewhere else. That got lost. So I get no free meal.
So have you spoken?
Whoa, stop. So were you with him?
Hang on, Bill.
Were you... Wait, hello? Were you with...
Hang on a second. I want to stop that. That's copyright me.
Were you with this rich man?
No.
Well, you had to rock up and claim a free meal by yourself?
No, he couldn't... We were going to go with him some other day. But he said, do you want to go to Dorchester, Mike Express? Of course I do. But he did say...
On your own?
He wasn't going to go.
He didn't end up in the restaurant.
He was never going to go.
He wasn't going to go anyway.
So he just got in touch with you on Facebook.
Sure, want to go tonight? Of course we do. He's in his BB, but because of a mix-up or company...
You know that gif? It's Eric from Tim and Eric, and it's a guy with, like, a black polo neck. He's in space, and he just does that, the hands coming out of his head as his mind is blown and stars appear. It's Eric from Tim and Eric. That is what this... That if you could do a gif on the radio, that is what this phone conversation is.
Rolled down at the gym, and here I am, fully recovered, right as rain, exactly a week.
You're an inspiration, my friend. You're an inspiration to everybody.
That's come for you, mate. That means a lot.
You're an inspiration. How are things between you and your wife? she doesn't exist, so it's...
Now, but that was awful a couple of days ago. It's all happening very, very quickly. We actually booked a holiday to go to Liverpool next week, so got it done. So I think she's fine now. Bit of a like a tornado of a couple of days.
These Tanzanians, they're explosive.
Oh, man, yeah.
Isn't it?
But mind you, I didn't know the breakdown destitution. I wouldn't have booked Liverpool so quick, because the one thing about the mental breakdown, and you might understand this, everyone thinks, oh, is that a mental breakdown? You need help. No, I've done that bit. That's historic. I mean, a fantastic place. Clarity of thought, vibrance, all there, mate. But it wasn't there a week ago. So I'm glad it happened. Tom, when you're destitute in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, it's not fun. But I'm glad it happened. Much better place. And I'm really enjoying every second of life at the moment.
Have you been to Tanzania?
No, don't want to go. Don't get on with the family, basically.
They're in India, aren't they?
No, the only family she's got, no longer in Tanzania. Her brother's died over there. The only brother, the only relative she had, and my mum died about 10 years. Brothers over here, so we don't get on here.
So the woman you love, right? Woman, your best friend, your soulmate, your other half, and I mean that in the truest sense, woman you have chosen to spend your life with, you have absolutely zero interest in going to the country that she came from.
Absolutely right, mate.
Wow. I've been out with women and girls, not from abroad, but quite early on, you go, well, I'd love to see where you grew up. I'd love to come back to your hometown, if that's not too weird, if you're cool with that.
Life's too short
to go to Tanzania and see the background of the woman that you married in your mind.
I know, mate, yeah.
All right, Bill, nice one, mate. Thank you.
I do, mate.
Cheers, bye-bye. 0344 499 1000 if you want to phone up and talk a load of our rubbish to us.
What was the moral of that story?
That we should maybe start screening phone calls.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I'm aware this is a very white radio station. Very white radio station. I'm aware it's a very male-dominated white radio station. I'm aware, for all intents and purposes, that it's significantly right-wing radio station. I don't use that as an insult. I use it as a description. I would say, what have you done? You got a little leakage on your...
I've been drinking water, but I washed the bottle first, so maybe I brushed against myself.
Okay, it looks like you're lactating, which is a great word.
My nipples aren't up here anymore.
Okay. I'm aware this is a white radio station. I'm aware it's a male-orientated. I think both work.
Yeah.
Radio station. I'm aware that it's right-wing, that with the exception of me... Matthew Rye and Daryl, we kind of, we're various degrees of left. I think there's a little bit of fluid. I think there's no extreme left wing in any of us. I fluctuate from kind of a centrist to a leftist to sometimes I'm a full on socialist. It depends. It's nuanced. It's nuanced. So I'm just doing that to set the context of this, because I'm really aware of all these things, right? And it's important that you know that I'm aware. I don't get why Alistair Stewart's been forced to resign. I don't get it. I don't get it. Again, I know I'm a white, middle-aged, bisexual guy. I know that I'm, you know, privileged. Please, for God's sakes, please, Catherine, if I start coming over Lawrence Fox, throw something at me.
Okay.
Would you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
With pleasure.
I don't get why Alistair Stewart has been forced to go. If it's just because of the tweet where he quoted Shakespeare, the quote makes a reference to an ape. He sent it to a black guy. We're going to look at the quote in a minute, because I've not really read the quote, but we're going to look at it, and we're going to, like in English literature GCSE, we're going to deconstruct it and work out exactly what it means. And also then you put it in the context of, I believe he sent it to at least two other people. It's kind of his go-to retort, I think. His go-to retort when people are dicks on Twitter to him, I think.
That quote is basically about people being so proud they don't realise that they don't know what they're talking
about.
Have
you got the quote?
Yes.
Can you read it to us, please?
So,
Hang on, let's do this properly. Let's do this properly. Shakespeare-y type music.
Now, I think it's been deleted, but what I've got is the screen grab by the guy who, Martin Chapland, who was offended.
But he's deleted it as well, I think, now.
Right, okay. But the screen grab doesn't show the full quote, that's the only thing.
Okay.
I can tell you the full quote as well. But what he's saying here is, but man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured, his glassy essence, like an angry ape.
Okay.
It's not the full quote.
Okay, so we got more quote.
Like an angry ape plays...
But that's what was sent to the guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the quote... I don't know whether the full thing was, because it's a screen grab, and okay, it's just that little window, the narrower window.
On we go.
It continues, well, the sentence carries on, so it's like an angry ape plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as makes the angels weep, who with our spleens would make all themselves laugh mortal.
I don't understand the second bit. The first bit I get is saying you're so arrogant and so cocky, but actually you don't know anything. You're like a monkey with a book.
Yeah.
You look clever. It's a monkey holding a book. It looks like a monkey can't read it. A monkey can't get the nuance of what's in the book.
Yeah. So you're strutting around talking like you know what you're talking about, but actually we're just beasts and the angels would cry at the arrogance of it.
I'm a white middle-aged guy. I've had a lot of white privilege in my life. So call me up if I'm wrong. And I know that we have quite a white audience for this station, for obvious reasons, and for this show. I get it. So it's not quite an echo chamber, this show. It's not quite, because we do have some peaked voices. Gavin, I'll come to you in a second. We do have voices that disagree with us. But it's like an echo chamber with an open door, I think. So we're kind of not going to get the full picture. If that's the reason he's been forced to stand down from ITN, I know you think might be more to it. We'll get to that in a second. But if that's the only thing we've got so far, if that's the reason, if that on its own is the reason he's been forced to stand down from ITN, have a little look, see if there's any more has come out since
it's
then.
It's just the way they've put errors of judgment.
Okay, okay. That's not a stand-downable offence. That's not a stand-downable offence. I mean, quoting Shakespeare the Bard, Britain's most overrated playwright, but quoting Shakespeare... and I get the, you know, calling black people monkeys deliberately, non-deliberate. I get it. Of course. That's a really horrible 70s and 80s, horrible racist, trope is not strong enough word. It's horrible, right? It's horrible. People still do it, and it's disgusting. It's a posh way of calling someone an idiot. It's a posh way of saying, you're an idiot. Your mum. That's what it is. It's a posh way of saying, yeah, but your mum. That's all it is, right? And he's done it to other people who are white. So if that's it, and we don't know...
ITN haven't confirmed that that's it.
Okay. If that's it, that's not a sackable offence. That shouldn't be. If that is it, and we'll probably find out tomorrow, he's been threatening to kill people. With nunchucks or something, you know, there might be something we go, no, that is a sackable offence. But as it stands, that's too much, it feels. That feels like it's too much.
But shouldn't someone in his position know better?
Than to quote Shakespeare?
Than to make any monkey reference whatsoever. I mean, after what happened to Danny Baker. It's an open goal, isn't it?
If, you know what, if it was just this guy he'd done it to, I still wouldn't think it was sackable, but yeah, I would agree with you more. The fact he's done it to, I think, two other people, to me, says... No. Maybe, you know, maybe, no. I don't think so. Is this just me? I'm aware, as we get older, we become more right-wing. It's just natural. I hate to break it to you. It's natural because we have, you know, we have mortgages and we're more interested in money and we have responsibility. It's just the way it goes. So I'm aware that I might be becoming more right-wing and I've not gone full Clarkson yet, have I, Catherine? I've not gone full Clarkson.
No.
Okay. You said that a little bit hesitantly. You're still hesitating now?
No, but I'm just thinking of that thing we always tell ourselves, right? Before we decide what's racist and what isn't, ask the people who are affected by it.
Yeah, which is what I'm putting... This is why I'm putting this out there. This is not a radio show that's going to go... Blah, 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 cut people off. I want to know. I want to know what you think, right? Particularly if you are a person of colour. But that, of course, doesn't mean... If a black person phones up, doesn't mean they are a spokesperson for all black people. We get it. Yes, you're right to raise that point, but actually, I'm starting to think, and maybe this is me becoming Johnsonified, the Johnson effect, I'm starting to think the world has gone crazy, or is it the very least is starting to spin off the treadle.
You think this is the sort of thing that makes people use the word woke in a negative sense?
I don't think what he did was racist. And I can speaking specifically about that, I don't think that is racist. I do not think that is racist. And I'm allowed to have an opinion on it, but I'm aware that my opinion is perhaps slightly less valid than the opinion of people of colour. I get that. Slightly less. Significantly less. Is variably less than people of colour.
Let's just agree it's less.
Okay, I just want to get a number on it as to how less it is. Fewer, sorry. So I don't know. I know we have a very white audience. I get it. But I would love to know your views on that. I don't know, you know, we're not going to do a particularly heavy show. We very rarely do, but... I just saw that today. I woke up and this, you know, story about Matthew Wright leaving here today, and then I went to bed, and then I woke up and I just turned on Twitter as I do, and Alistair Stewart was trending. I thought, oh, God. And I've met Alistair a long time ago. He was a guest on the 11 o'clock show, and he's worked here, did cover for a presenter here, and everyone said he was the nicest person that you could work with? Wasn't you treated the staff, the team, with respect and courtesy as equals? Asked for opinions, and quite often go with those. This is a guy that's been doing the news for 40 years and would ask people in their early 20s what they thought. Yeah. And if it registered, he'd go, okay, yeah, no, we can go. Let's go that way.
Yeah, I had people coming to me with big grins on their faces saying he treated me like a professional.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, some of the stuff that is put out into the ether, you know, to call him, someone did a thing, you know, Alistair Stewart's got the boot for being racist, if it's that. But Piers Morgan is allowed to go on and harass 17, 16 year old schoolgirls and stalk Meghan Markle, you know. Yeah. I don't understand. Do you want to give 0844 a quick call? They've just texted in. Just see if they want to come on and have a chat. Because they've got a really interesting point, actually. I'd really like to have a chat with them about it. So, do come on. You'll get a fair crack of the whip. Yeah, definitely get a fair crack of the whip. Not answering. Oh, there's a surprise. Oh, 0844, baby. Come and talk to me. Isn't it funny?
Isn't it predictable?
Isn't it predictable? 0834 499 1000 is
no,
the telephone.
No, 0344.
What did I say?
0834.
What did I say?
You said 0834.
Okay. Dial that if you want. 0344, thank you. That's why you get paid the medium bucks. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Gavin, I come to you next. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 0844. What's going on there?
I don't know.
Not feeling very well. I feel very sick. I feel sick, headachy, nauseous. I think I had a bad coffee. I had a coffee in my, like,
Flask.
But I hadn't cleaned it out properly. It's been sat on the edge for, like, 2 weeks, where it had lemon and honey in.
Okay, not milk, then.
Not milk, but I think that's... But the rim tasted of honey. But that means I've not cleaned it, so it's probably covered in germs.
Well, honey is an antiseptic, so maybe not.
In that case, I feel fine. Good evening, Gavin.
Hi, good evening. How are you? Honey is an antibiotic rather than an antiseptic.
That's you talk then, Catherine.
Is it? I'm going to check that.
She's going to Google it, Gavin. Do you want to stand by that? Are you doubling down or are you backing down?
No, soldiers back in World War One, before antibiotics were invented, soldiers used to smear honey into bullet wounds and wounds to kill bacteria.
Well, that would be antiseptic. I'm staying out of this. I've got no dog in this race. Catherine?
Yeah, antibacterial activity.
Catherine, would you like to apologise to Gavin?
No.
Okay, she's doubling down.
I'm not apologising. You're allowed to be wrong. And I stand corrected.
Catherine, I'll call it 50-50.
Don't bother, I don't need your pissy. Carry on.
Whoa. Gavin, you will not call it 50-50. You won that argument.
Wasn't an argument.
Well, it was an argument and he won it.
It's an argument now.
Between you and Gavin, I'm saying
that.
Between
me and
you. What? You've come in and you've just thrown an SH1T bomb into my show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I lived down in London for about 15 years.
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's the thing. And I actually got once interviewed by an on-air radio presenter and said, oh, what's the best thing you'll ever think of, you'll love about London? I said, Staples Corner, because it's the start of the M1 North. and the look on her face was like, well, where are they going now, you know?
It's a great corner. It used to be a Toys R Us there. It's opposite Brent Cross Shopping Centre. There's a magnificent Christian centre, and you're about 2 miles away from Neasden Mosque. So yeah, it's a great place.
Well, the one thing, Ian, I'd like to say is racism is a two-way street, and whether you live in, like, I'm Scottish, but I live in Durham, lived down there for years, and racism is not fight on other communities is just as equivalent on coming back on us.
Why are you telling me this?
Well, just when you mentioned about racism there.
Yeah,
you know?
But the story is specifically about a person of colour who is offended by the tweet of a white man. So why are you telling me about this?
Maybe I should have heard the whole report rather than half it.
Well, but what's the relevance to what's the relevance?
Well, it's just to show that we all need to bang our heads together and say, look, we're all in one wee island.
Yeah, but sensible people know that.
Aye, but some don't. There's so many clowns out there.
Here's what I don't understand, Gavin. Why you felt the need to phone up and go, it's not just white people that are racist, black people can be too.
Well, not just black. There's
List them all. List them. Let's get a list of all the other people that can be racist.
Well, I don't know how far your politics go, but I'm ex-police and ambulance service, and I once in an area was in the car with my daughter who was 7-year-old.
When you say ex-police and ambulance, that's odd that you'd have those two separate. Did you work on the 999?
Yes, I worked 999 crews, yeah.
With police and ambulance?
Yes.
So were you a policeman?
Yeah, police in the 80s and then ambulance service until 2 years ago.
Well, thank you for that. But again, I don't understand why you're pointing out that racism goes both ways. I mean, it's interesting, I suppose, but it's irrelevant to what we're talking about, isn't it?
Right. Well, thanks, Ian. And I'll keep it as tidy as I can because I don't know what your parameters are. But
assume we have no parameters. We've got no parameters on this show.
Okay, right. And
are you about to tell me an incident of a person of colour being racist towards you?
Yes.
Right. Why?
Well, in the car, my daughter.
No. Why are you telling me this?
Well, you introduced the conversation about racism.
I introduced a very specific conversation about Alistair Stewart, who has been accused of being racist towards a black person. And you have felt the need to phone up and tell me an incident of a black person being racist to you, a white person. And I just don't understand the connection between the two stories. It feels irrelevant to me, but maybe I'm missing something.
Right, okay. Well, basically what happened was...
Before you tell me what happened, tell me why it's relevant to what we were talking about. Because I don't think it is. I think that it sounds like you had a bad experience however many years ago, and you want to phone up and talk about it, but it's irrelevant to the story that we were just talking about. Well, I'm talking about Alistair Stewart and a tweet.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I don't want to sing it.
Okay, miserable git.
Come on.
Your lips, you're fine. Your hips, don't lie. It's in your eyes. I can tell that you want it cause your lips, you're fine.
Hello? I was still on.
Hello?
I thought, oh, God, who's this?
Stuart.
All right, Stuart, what do you want?
I just want to discuss briefly about the different types of genders that are currently around nowadays. I just want to have your opinion on them.
Couldn't give a toss. Hang up.
Sorry?
I could not give a toss. Hang up.
Why do you think that?
Right, you're not funny, you're not interesting, you're boring, hang up, go to bed.
I don't know what you're on about. I literally just want to talk to you briefly about genders.
Go to bed. Ian?
Well, what would you want to talk about then?
I can honestly say I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do less than speak to you right now.
Why?
Because you do.
I don't understand. I thought I was going to give you a call to discuss about something.
Right, right. You're trying to be funny, and it's not funny. If you're trying to be interesting, it's not interesting. So you're failing on all fronts. Go to bed.
Mate, I don't understand what you're on about. I literally wanted to talk about genders, that's all. Because the ideas I'm talking about is the idea of... Because when people are saying they're non-binary and people are saying that they're gender neutral, I completely disagree about that. I feel like when you've got people like transgender people...
Yeah, you're saying things that you don't believe in and I couldn't give a toss about, so that's better.
What the hell are you on about? I'm completely confused. I thought having a talk radio show would be something to discuss about, and I'm bringing up a topic to discuss about, and I feel like you're not giving me the time of day or don't actually want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, it's not my show. I'm an author.
Oh, okay.
Right, go away. Is he gone?
David, what can we do for you tonight?
What's all this about me owing you £30?
You owe me £30.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
What, bits on Twitch?
No. You remember you came on the other night and you did that... we interviewed you about your book.
My book that you can buy on Amazon if you search my name, yeah?
Yep, I'm always happy to promote new authors. But here's the rub. When we do it, we tend to get sent free copies of the book by the publishers. We didn't get sent free copies of the book by your publishers, so I had to buy three copies, one for myself, one for my producer,
Hello.
Co-host, that's Catherine, that's the voice
that's
there.
Me there,
and one as a prize. They were £9.99 each, so that's £30. And I'd really appreciate that as soon as possible,
plus
please.
Plus postage.
Right, I've not got a publisher, so no.
Okay, well, but you do have a book out. We did give you some free airtime, so yeah. I'd just like to be refunded the money that I spent, please.
You do realise that I live in a hovel?
Right.
You should have thought about that before you wrote a book.
You should have thought about that before you moved there.
Mm.
Right. You live in a big farmhouse.
Correct.
You're considerably richer than me.
Sorry?
You've got more money. Why do I... And also, it served a purpose. You've said nothing but nice things about my book.
Right, I know, but that's because I thought I was getting the £30 back. Now I know it would appear I'm not getting the £30 back. I can start telling the truth if you'd like.
If you bought a delicious burger, right?
Yes.
He tasted me, has the best burger I've ever had.
Yep.
Right, you wouldn't have some money back, would you?
Well, if you'd made yourself a burger bar, mm-hmm, and you invited us there for your grand opening, you wouldn't charge us, would you?
Also, I would have eaten the burger.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book.
You're joking.
I haven't read the book.
You see, that's where it confuses me, because you act like you're my friend, you act like you're supporting me, and then you pull a little trick like that. Oh, God, what's this now?
Hello?
Who's this?
It's Stuart again, mate. I'm not being funny, but I spoke to you just a minute ago about genders, and you couldn't even give me the time of day, and I don't understand what the problem is. I've been listening to this talk radio show for years now, yeah? And the only people that I can speak to, I feel like, can only listen to me on a deeper level. And you're not giving me the time of day, and I feel like it's absolutely disrespectful.
What's my name?
I don't even toss what your name is. I came on here to talk about a topic about genders, and you ain't giving me the time of day.
Right, you rang a show and you don't even know what my bloody name is. So you don't listen to it, do you? Otherwise you'd know that this is...
Hey, I listen to it on a one-to-one. I listen to it on a one-to-one. Don't get me wrong, it's more and more of like background music, but like, on a level, I wanted to speak to you about a certain topic, and I don't know if it was yourself or the person before, that you didn't give me the time of day to talk about genders, and it really upset me.
I don't, I'm at a loss. What are you trying to do?
I wanted to have a discussion about you, about different types of genders.
You didn't. Who's the girl in the background?
The girl in, there's no girl in the background.
Who's the girl that said, "You're going American"?
What?
Right.
You, there's no one here.
Okay. I think it's time you went to bed.
Oh my god, I literally wanted to discuss to you about a certain topic that I feel like is ridiculous, which is genders, because I feel like there's only one male and one female. I don't feel like there's any other type of genders.
Right, right. And I'll tell you what.
This is your opinion.
I'll tell you what, I couldn't give a toss about your opinion. You can shove it up your ass.
Shove it up my ass?
Yeah.
Nah, I ain't no fruity done.
Right, you're boring me. Go
okay.
to bed.
I haven't read the book.
I'm not in the mood for these jabronis.
Okay, I don't know what's happening there. I haven't read the book.
If he comes back on, I tell you what, if he comes back on, I'm going to swear.
Kind of did there. Here's the thing. You owe me £30.
I don't owe you £30.
You owe me £30. What are we going to do about this?
I'll tell you what, I'll give you £30 and I won't have any pot noodles to eat.
Okay.
And then that'll be on your conscience.
Absolutely fine. Fair enough.
You don't feel bad about that?
Nope.
I've made a pittance from this book.
Okay.
And it's all going to go on giving you a refund.
Well, the money you made from the book, I'm getting some of it back because I bought 3 copies of the book that I had no intention of reading and just gave away.
You gave them away?
Well, I gave one to Kath. We gave one to, what's her name, fake Sheila.
Yeah.
And the other one I chucked in the bin.
Your words are like arrows straight to my bloody heart.
I did read one story, and I was wondering if you could read it to Catherine now.
Right.
Bedtime.
Oh. Yeah, I'll read it. The one story you say you like, and it's not even one of mine. Right, here we go.
What?
Do you mean one?
I thought you wrote them all.
It's plagiarism.
Right.
Did you nick someone's story? That's plagiarism. Because I don't think you understood that word.
Some people won't understand
let's
it.
Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm just finding the story for
you. Did you steal the story?
No comment. Here we go.
Oh,
bedtime.
Yes.
Hang on, let me get the music up. Let's get the music up. Here we go. No, here we go.
Daddy, check into my bed for monsters. Daddy smiles, kneels down and checks. He sees his son, another son. He's crying and curled up in a ball. Daddy, there's somebody in my bed.
I'm a bit confused. So
he's got two sons.
Oh, right, okay. Wasn't the same. Right.
So he's got two
children.
What
would have been, can I just say what would have worked better?
Go on, Kath. Bear in mind, it's not even his story, it turns out.
Hey, you can put it in your book.
What would have been better was if the son underneath the bed was the actual son and the one that had told you to look under the bed...
was fake.
Yeah.
You should have done it that
way. That is what the story is.
Well, don't say another son then, because I didn't know where the other son had come from.
Yeah.
I probably copied it wrong.
Send me the £30, David. I look forward to getting it, mate. Thank you very much.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
What the hell are you on about?
Thank you, Sam. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Good evening, John.
Hello, Ian. How are you doing?
All right, John. What have you got for us tonight, please, sir?
How's Catherine doing as well?
She's
held the fort brilliantly.
She's the best.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
Turn your radio off, please, John.
It was brilliant. You know, the last caller that you had on, I've never laughed so much in my
really?
Life.
Well, then, I'm glad to, is your radio on in the background?
Very quietly.
It's not that quietly. I can hear it. And because of the 7-second delay, it makes it very confusing.
There you go. It's off now.
Beautiful.
It's just great to hear you back on top form.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's something where the last call...
what the hell are you on about?
Yep.
Sorry?
Nothing. Nothing.
What the hell are you on about?
So what can we do for you tonight, John?
Nothing. The only reason I rang Ian was to say sort of it's great to hear you back and sort of on top form.
You wait. This is I'm like on 45%. You wait till I'm on 100%. And boy, oh boy, we're going to take this show places. I mean, down to the second floor apparently. But we're going to take this show places.
I could probably deal with 75% if I can get on 100%.
Oh, okay.
That would be too much for me.
You're a cocaine addict.
Sorry? No, it was just to say sort of great to hear you back.
Thank you, John.
Great to sort of know that you're Make feeling love. Okay.
Yeah. John, thank you, John. Appreciate that. Very kind words. Let's go to Dean. Good evening, Dean.
Hello, how are you both?
Oh, for God's sakes, it's none of your business. Do we have to go back to that?
Again, I only asked.
What can we do for you, Dean? Is your radio on?
What I'm ringing up about, really, today...
Is your radio on?
I laid my daughter to rest today,
Dean, I'm really sorry. I'm laughing because I'm being inappropriate.
No.
Dean, do me a favour. Turn your radio off.
Not sad.
No, Dean.
It was a happy release.
Dean, turn your radio off because it's a bit tricky to have a conversation and then we can have a proper chat.
I've turned it off.
Thank you, mate. Go on. Sorry, I'm sorry. I was being silly.
I laid
and you
my
got some...
to rest today.
Okay.
Which I'm not sad because it was a happy occasion.
Good
it was a celebration
you.
Rather... than a funeral, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There was balloons and everything. And she had a coffin made of a camper van. The coffin was made to look like a camper van.
Blimey.
And it was absolutely brilliant. It's a happy release because she contracted a very rare disease and there was no cure. And she could have gone on for months, but I'm glad she didn't because the pain that she was in.
She was in a lot of pain, was
quite happy, you know.
May I ask what disease she had?
She had a thing called calciphylaxis.
Do you know what? That rings a bell. What is that?
Well, it's where your body gets covered in bruising.
Yeah.
And then the bruises split open everywhere on your body.
Ay.
Yeah, and she was just one giant plaster in the end.
Oh, poor thing.
And she was 40 this year.
40?
And she left two lovely children, yeah.
Oh, Dean, I'm so sorry, my friend.
Oh, no, it's all right. Don't be sad, because it's a happy time for us, because she said that she didn't want to be mourned, and she wanted to be celebrated, and we did that today in big style.
Talk to me, I'm a dad, right? We're dads. Yeah. It's the best job in the world, right? Well, everyone else says, being a dad is the best job in the world.
Absolutely.
But as dads, we don't expect to, you know, bury our babies.
But the funny thing was, I got home... And I had a letter from the local council.
Uh-oh.
And they said, you do realise that we're giving you an exemption until March. After that, you pay full council tax on an empty property.
Oh, well, that's nice of them to get in so quickly.
They changed the rules.
Aye.
So
council
even
tax.
Though the property's empty,
yeah,
you have to pay full council tax. I thought, great, we've not even... put the house on the market, yeah, you know.
Mm.
And I thought, that's just typical of them, isn't it, you know?
Isn't it, though? Isn't
I
it?
Thought, I just thought you'd like to know that, because anybody now, if you've got anybody that's, you know, passing on, and you've got property, be aware, you will pay council tax on an empty property.
Did you have a few drinks today?
No, I don't drink.
You don't drink?
Ian, I've been sober for... I did have a drink problem, but I've been sober now for 22 years.
Oh, congratulations. How did you get sober?
Yeah. Sorry?
How did you get sober, if you don't mind me asking?
My children, actually.
Yeah?
And my grandchildren. They didn't like seeing Grumpy the way he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they stopped coming round, in which I thought, I've got to do something, you know. I love my grandchildren and I love my children. But I was quite abusive and things like that, you know.
does bad things to us.
I just said, that's it. I threw it all down the sink, and I haven't had one ever since, and that was the 7th of July, 22 years ago.
You're a good man, Dean.
Well, you're a good man now, because I'm there for my children, you know, and I can be a proud father, grandfather.
What's going to happen to your girls? Did you say that she had two sons?
A son and a daughter.
Son and daughter. What's happening with them?
Well, at the moment, they're with their father at the moment.
Okay.
Because they were separated, yeah?
He's a good guy, though?
He's sound enough, you know.
Okay.
Part of her will was that I remained guardian of the children.
Yeah, okay.
So he can't do anything without agreeing with me, you know.
Okay. Do you get on with him?
Yeah, I get on with him. Everything's really cool at the moment, you know. And I even said that the school that she wants her son to go to, and he said, "Yeah, that's fine, no problems." And he's catered for everything that Emma wanted in her will.
Good for him.
You know, and it was brilliant, actually. He was there today, and he was enjoying himself, too. There were some tears, obviously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But most of the time, it was...
It is amazing the amount of laughter you get at a funeral. When we cremated my dad.
That people were reading out.
Oh, God, I bet. But when we cremated my dad, Dean, there was...
I mean, when they saw a coffin come in, in the shape of a camper van, because she was mad on camper vans.
Oh,
yeah?
God.
She never actually owned one.
Right.
She collected scale models of camper vans, and I've ended up with them all, 22 in total.
Yeah.
And I've got to keep them in trust. So, she's got all the camper van, you know, sort of stuff she's got. She's got, it's boxes of it, you know, just the camper van stuff.
What are you doing tomorrow, Dean? What does tomorrow hold for you?
Ian, I'm retiring on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
After 42 years in the health service.
Mm.
I was frontline A&E doctor. And I'm retiring on Saturday, which is... I can't wait, really. I've had enough now, you know.
I bet.
I've seen a lot and done a lot. And, it's time for other people to do what they can,
yeah,
you know.
Time for you to enjoy yourself a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So tomorrow, what I'm going to do, I'm getting the chainsaw out.
What the heck? He's going crazy, guys!
Yeah, I got a chainsaw in the garden. I got a big tree in the garden, and I keep saying to myself, that's coming down. Well, I brought a new chainsaw, and guess what's happening tomorrow?
It's coming down. You're chopping wood. Good. I think it's a positive thing to do.
I'm going to change all that tomorrow.
Dean, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it, mate.
Ian, it's lovely. Keep the good work up, mate. I love your show.
Thank you. I listen to
you every day, you and Kat. And she's done a good job when you were on holiday.
She's all right, isn't she?
And, you were sick when you...
I had a little break. I wasn't feeling very well.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope you're all right now, and...
Thank you, Dean.
Good luck with the show and many years to come, hopefully.
Dean, take care of yourself, my friend. We'll speak soon.
And you, take care. Bye-bye. I'll call again.
Bye-bye. What a dignified gentleman. What a gentleman. What a nice guy. Good luck to him. Good luck to those kids. 0344 499 1000. This is why this slot is the best slot. And this is why this show is the best show me and Catherine have ever done. By the way, I have to say, nice words about Catherine filling in for me. Here's what most of you don't know. She's been doing radio longer than I've been doing it. She's the producer of the show, right? I couldn't produce a show. I could if I really, really had to, but it would not be pleasurable for me. Kath takes great pleasure in producing this show and producing other shows. And she's been hosting shows. I mean, she's 20 years older than me. But she's been hosting shows longer than and more often than I have. But also, you're my favourite. I'll say it to you because you're here. You're my favourite radio host. You're my favourite radio host. And I don't think Dean was. I do think sometimes some people are a bit, oh, Kath did a good show. Dean wasn't doing that, I don't think. I think Dean was saying your mate did a really good job and she's great, which you are. But sometimes people are surprised.
Well, I think they assume that I I think they assume that I'm kind of some sort of assistant.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the way it generally works.
And that I've been thrown a bat on.
Yeah. I brought Kath here from the other place we worked at, because I got booted out because I stood up against bigotry against gay people from an extreme right-wing Christian organisation. And I got booted out and I kind of sniffed my way over here. And while I was here, I said, here's the thing. If you want to offer me a job, I'd like to do it, thinking, I really need a job, I'm desperate. I'd like to do it, but if you want to get the best out of me, I need to bring my own producer with me. Okay, yeah, I think we can do that. I'm on the phone to Kath after the meeting. Kath, do you want to leave the BBC? Because I think I've got you a job here. That was it.
And I said, yes, I very do.
That was it. And you had to work there, I think, for another 4 or 5 months with me gone. But this was all lined up. It was a ballsy manoeuvre. I'd love to work here, but if you really want to get the best out of me, I've got to have my own producer. And the idiots that run this place didn't know what they're doing. They went, I'm joking, slightly. They went, yeah, sure, okay, bring her over. Kath, I think I've just got us both a job. Come to London.
Listen, I've proved my worth several times over to those guys. I'm sure they're glad that they hired me.
You have, but you're my favourite radio presenter. And I didn't listen when you filled in last time because I just didn't.
You weren't in the right headspace.
I wasn't in the right headspace. I love it. I've booked a week off in April and taking the boys to the log cabin again like I did last year. And we listened. We phoned in one night. I don't know if you know. Me and my eldest.
Is that you?
Me and my eldest phoned in one night and we might do it again. But, gosh, Dean's call is, that's why this slot is the best slot. Because people like Dean feel comfortable enough to call in and share, you know, details of a very private day.
Yeah.
And what a good man. What a good man. We've got Jermaine, then we've got Nathan. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Jermaine.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Jermaine. What you got for us?
Well, I've got a bit of a predicament myself. Basically, I'm not sure whether to stay in my current job, you see, or, save up and obviously then go travelling, or do I just pack it up and go now, because I'm not happy where I am right now.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
I was going to say 22. I should have said it, but I wasn't confident enough. I'm going to ask you a question that you don't need to give me the answer to, but I think you'll understand why I'm asking. It's a very personal question. How much money have you got in the bank?
Around £5,000.
Go. Go now. Go. Go now. Quick. Go.
Why are you saying that?
Because you're a young man. Because you're a young man. And I wish I'd done it when I was 21, and I didn't. And I haven't really done it. And so I've missed it. 21, you've got £5,000. Spaff it all on going around the world. Go to San Francisco. Go to Canada. Go to Mexico. Go to South Africa. Go to, I don't know, go where it go. Go to Japan. Go, 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 go! Do it, Jermaine. You can. Yeah. Here's the thing. You can do it. You're unhappy in work. It's not, but it could be his mate. You're unhappy in work, go and do it.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about it for a while.
Don't think, do it. Tomorrow, you're handing in your notice.
Oh, yeah, good point, man.
Jermaine, thanks very much for your call. That simple sometimes. It's that simple sometimes. He's 21, he's got £5,000.
And an imaginary job to give up.
Oh, you think, Catherine, my thing, is this the genders guy? I don't think it was, but they may have been in the same car, smoking a doobie. But if that situation were real, for example, 21, £5,000.
21, yeah.
Go.
Likewise, dump your girlfriend or boyfriend. It won't last.
Go. Go, 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 go.
Run free while you can.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.